Let us pray. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to look at Psalm 40 today that was read to you. And I have a story that's a true story. The person who told that to me is here, but I won't reveal who that is. This person told me a story about being stuck in the mud. And it was quite a frightening story. She was out walking the dog, and she was out on her own property, and it was at a time when all the earth had defrosted, and there was a lot of muck and mud around, but she thought nothing of it, had boots on. And as she's walking, there was a place on the property where her feet actually sunk into the mud. And so she tried to get out and couldn't. And, of course, had not brought a cell phone with her to call for help. And as she's struggling, she's slipping further into the mud. So she decided she had to do something drastic and sacrificed her boots and got out of her boots and crawled out of that mud to safety. I don't know if she ever found the boots, and if she did, probably did not want to rescue them. Now, you can imagine how she looked after she got out of the mud. Probably not pretty, and probably had to take those clothes off and clean them and get ready to get herself all cleaned off of mud, and it probably took a while. Sinking in the mud is not fun. I remember some folks who have sunk in the mud with their vehicles. And, oh, that's very difficult to get out of that situation. You have to get somebody to push you out because you're grinding up your wheels in the mud. Do you know what that's like in life when you're stuck? When no matter what you do, you can't get out. You're stuck in a situation, and it feels just like being pulled down into the mud. And you know that even when you get out, it's not going to be pretty. We've been stuck in those situations sometimes in grief. We're stuck in those situations when we have chronic illnesses or when we have conditions. If you look under my chair, there are heels there that have been left there since Christmas time, and they sit under there mocking me because I'm stuck. You know what it's like to be stuck in situations with families that don't ever seem to get better. We're stuck. The psalmist understood what it meant to be stuck because he talked about it. He said that he was in the miry bog. And he can teach us what to do when we're stuck. The first thing he says is, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, none of us here are that patient. We talk about patience a lot. We talk about how others need to be patient. But it's awfully hard when we're experiencing it to have that kind of patience to wait for God's help because we want God to take care of it yesterday. And we don't understand why we have to be so stuck in this situation. And sometimes it takes years before we really understand and we really can get growth from what has happened in those times of being stuck. But the psalmist says we need to wait patiently for the Lord when we're stuck. And he also gives us other advice. He says, happy are those who make the Lord their trust. Because many times when we're stuck, we want to go in other directions. other directions that might not be pleasing to God, other directions that might hurt us even more, because we just want to get unstuck. And he says, happy are those who don't go astray, who continue on the path, who keep trusting God. One person summarized it best when she said, trusting God when God doesn't make any sense. And so the people who are happy are those who trust in God even when God makes no sense. And then he said something that was a little strange to me, especially being a professional clergy type. In verse 6, he said, sacrifice an offering you do not desire. Well, we take up an offering every week, and I like that. I know that when we have church-type stuff, that we ask people for sacrifice. We ask them not only to sacrifice money, but time and energy. And so I didn't quite understand, sacrifice an offering you do not desire, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I realized that when we're stuck, many times we like to bargain. We use our service as a bargaining chip. We say, but Lord, I have done this for you. Don't I deserve some consideration? Several months ago, I preached on the topic, we deserve nothing, but God gives us everything. And so sometimes we think that our little offerings that we give, whether big or small to us, means something to God. And we think that because we are good people, God should take better care of us. And so he says, God doesn't need that from us. But what does he need? He said, you have given me an open ear. And he said, I delight to do your will, O my God. And that's what God wants from us, is to listening ear and to do his will and to keep doing his will, even when we're stuck. I think of tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And I think of his very last sermon. And if you remember that speech, what is one of the hallmark lines of that speech? I just want to do God's will. And even though he must have had a premonition that he was going to die, he said many things in that service that would indicate that he knew. And instead of saying, I'm scared, or I don't want to, he said, I would like to live a long time, but that doesn't matter to me. I just want to do God's will, and God has given me the vision of the other side. He's brought me to the promised land. He's helped me to see the other side. I won't get there with you, but God's given me that gift. I just want to do God's will. It's easy when we feel good to do God's will. But it's more important when we're stuck to do God's will. Now, when the man wrote this, he had been delivered from whatever, whether it was illness or a problem at home or whatever it was, he had already been delivered and he was telling the story. And this is what he said. He took me out of that mud and he said, he put me on a rock and made my steps secure. And then he said that I have told the glad news of deliverance in the congregation. And when we get unstuck, when God delivers us, it is important for us to tell the story to other people. That's why in our concerns and praise reports, we not only tell of the things that we need help with and we ask for the congregation to pray, but we also ask for those things that we have experienced and we say, this is how God has helped us, because that increases the faith of all the people. And he said, I haven't held back. I've told the story. And it's important for us when we get together in groups or in this congregation, when we know that God has given to us a gift, to share that story with others, because that increases all of our faith. What's interesting about this psalm is it goes on beyond those 11 verses, and he's in another problem. If you read verse 12, it says, "For evils have encompassed me without number." He got unstuck by God, and he's back into another situation. And he said, "Okay, God, you took care of it once. I waited patiently. I've got another problem." This is how life is. Life goes in circles. And sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. And there are times that we can say, "God's delivered me," and then something else comes up and we have to ask again. And we serve a God who's never tired of hearing our cry for help. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you pull us out of the mud, that even when we are stuck for so long, your grace and your strength are there to help. And we ask for those who are stuck today, who are stuck in physical illness, who are stuck in situations of grief, family problems, whatever that is, we ask that you would help us to wait patiently for your deliverance and give us the grace to proclaim your praise to the congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.